Okay, we are at Revi in Parshas Bay, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. 1 second. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalid, page 346. Okay, Vayomer Moshe, let's go, it's late. Revi. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Pari. Yes, yeah, supposed to be closed. Okay, and Rashi explains in the Medrash that this coming up prophecy was told to Moshe Rabbeinu while he was standing in the presence of Pari. Okay? Because Pari said, you're not going to see me anymore. Don't come to me. You know, that's it. So Hashem said this prophecy. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Koy Amar Hashem. When did God tell it to him? When he was standing in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Kachatzeis halayla, approximately midnight, because that's the word kachatzeis. Okay? Ani yaseh b'seich Mitzrayim, I'm going to be going out in the midst of Egypt. Okay? Now, Rashi right away asks the famous question. It says, Vayhi b'chatzi halayla, Hashem did it exactly at midnight.
Everybody's doing in black labor, crown royal.
We're in the middle of a class now.
I know that, but I just...
What do you mean, just what? If you'd be in Beis Chayimushka or Cheder, they'd throw you out of class for what you just did. Now, right? Gotta get tough, huh?
You're not supposed to disrupt.
Right, okay. Now, the reality of it was that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem came out in Mitzrayim exactly at midnight. Exactly at midnight. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, Kachatzeis halayla, which means approximately midnight? Okay? So, Rashi answers the simple answer, because not that Hashem wouldn't be exact, Hashem would be exact. But Pari's astrologers or time people would have a wrong watch or a wrong clock, because they didn't have exact clocks in those days. And they would say, oh, Hashem came in the 2 minutes off. Hashem came 12:02. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, approximately midnight. But the fact is, when did Hashem really come? Hashem came, exactly at midnight. In fact, one of the reasons why it was exactly at midnight, that the people day from the day shouldn't say it was the previous day's mazel, and the people from the next day should say it's the next day's mazel. So he did exactly in between everything, that it shouldn't be, nobody should claim any responsibility except Hashem himself. So that's the Kachatzeis halayla ani yetzei b'seich Mitzrayim, that Hashem said exactly at midnight. The world says a concept. I mentioned this in the past. A kid was once walking with his father in London, and he came to the Big Ben, you know, one of the sightseeing the places of London. So the kid says to the father, a Yiddish kid with a firm father, he says, Abba, why is the Big Ben so high up? Why couldn't they make it a little lower? Why does it have to be so high up? So his father was a smart guy, so the father said to him, you don't understand, I'll tell you why they did it. Can you imagine a Jew walks by Big Ben, and he looks at his watch, and it says 12:02, and Big Ben says 12. Now his watch is always right, so he's going to move Big Ben to 12:02. The next Jew is going to walk by. He says, "No, my watch says 11:59." So obviously Big Ben is wrong. So he's going to start moving Big Ben to 11:59. He said the whole day Jews are going to be moving Big Ben back and forth. So you know what? They decided they're going to put it out of reach, that the Jews shouldn't come and touching it. Pari says, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say to Pari, Kachatzeis halayla, approximately midnight. The Pari's stargazers and time people shouldn't come along and say that Hashem was off by a few minutes. But when Hashem says, Kachatzeis halayla, it means exactly at midnight. Well, because Hashem first of all wanted the Jews to know what time was going to happen, and he also wanted to give Pari a warning, and he said all the warnings of Pari, Hashem said to him exactly when it's going to happen. Now, Chatzis Laila, Halachic Midnight, we know is a time of what's called Eis Rotzen Lamaila. It's a very auspicious time, and that's why it's a time when people that say Tikkun Chatzos, you know, they get up at midnight and they sit on the floor and they mourn over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Why do they do it at that time of midnight? Because midnight is a spiritual auspicious time. The revelation that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim, at Makkos Becheiros, of Vavayti Beretz Mitzrayim, Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo Sadaf, Ani V'lo Ashliach. So that revelation of Hashem had to take place in a very holy, auspicious time, which was exactly at midnight. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell Paro, you should be aware that this revelation of godliness is happening when it's happening, because that is the auspicious time. Okay, so what happened? And he continues as follows. What's going to happen? Umeis kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, all the firstborn of Egypt are going to die. B'chor Paro Yeshiv al Kisif, and the firstborn of Paro, because we know Paro himself, as Rashi explains later, was also a firstborn. Paro himself was a b'chor. And it makes sense, because kings, in the olden times, usually the oldest child became the next king. So obviously Paro was the firstborn, it took over from his father. So, from the firstborn of Paro that sits on the throne, Abechor Ashivcha, to the Bechor of the maidservant, Asher Achad Arechoyim, which is behind the millstone, V'chol Bechor Behema, and all the firstborn animals. So Rashi mentions two things over here from the Medrash. Okay, we understand the firstborn Paro is going to die because he is a troublemaker. But obviously, the maidservant's kids have no authority or power to make problems. Why should they be killed? So Rashi explains in the Medrash, because the truth was, they were also happy when the Jews were being tortured. They were also part of the festivities of the Jews being enslaved. So they also deserve to be punished. And then the question is, but why B'chor Behema? Why should he kill the firstborn animals? So Rashi again quotes the Medrash that says that when God punishes from the nation, he punishes their idols also. So therefore, because the Egyptians worshipped the lamb, so therefore their idol were also animals. They worshipped animals. So Hashem punished the animals also. But not that the animals, so to speak, were to blame for the fact that the Jews were in slavery. Okay, but Olochol b'nei Yisrael, but to all the Jews, I'm sorry, I skipped a pause. It's going to be a tremendous screaming and yelling throughout the land of Egypt. There was never such a screaming and yelling. And there will never be such a screaming. Because like the pasuk says later, there was not a house that didn't have somebody dying. Because the Medrash says that even if there was no firstborn, the oldest member in the house died. In other words, it wasn't only Dafka the firstborn, because what happens if the oldest was a girl? The oldest member of the family died in the plague of firstborn. So every house had animals dying, people dying. I mean, it was an unbelievable thing. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael, but to all the Jews, l'yechetz kelev l'shenia, in English called wet his tongue, meaning wagging his tongue. He's not going to make any noise. He's not going to bark. The Me'ishva Behema to man, from people to animals. L'mantedon, that you should know. Asher Yafla Hashem, that Hashem differentiates and separates. Bein Mitzrayim v'bein Yisrael, between Egyptians and Jews. And this is an unbelievable thing. What type of thing is this that the dogs didn't make noise? I mean, and the Rebbe once spoke a sikh about it, because the Medrash answers the question. There's a Gemara that when the Malach HaMavis is in town, the dogs bark. So here is a miracle, that even though the Malach HaMavis was going around killing all the firstborn, right, and therefore Hashem told the Jews, you better stay inside. Because once the Malach HaMavis has permission to kill, it doesn't differentiate, it just trucks, you know, killing one after the other. So the miracle over here was, that even though the Gemara says, that when the Malach HaMavis is in town, the dogs bark, here the miracle was, the dogs didn't bark. But the Rebbe said, how does Rashi explain this? Because Rashi doesn't teach Gemara. Rashi teaches the simple meaning of the pasuk. So the Rebbe once asked the Nesicha, remember when the Rebbe said the Nesicha, it was very interesting because the Rebbe was smiling, And he said, why doesn't Rashi explain what is the miracle of the fact that the dogs didn't bark? So the Rebbe explained, you don't need the Gemara to understand the miracle. The Rebbe said, whoever has dogs knows that when there's a full moon, dogs bark. They bark at the moon. The Jews left Egypt on Pesach, which is the night of the 15th. The night of the 15th is a full moon. Right? The night of the 15th is when we have a full moon. If it's a full moon, by nature, the dog should bark. So Rashi said, the Rebbe said, Rashi doesn't even have to explain it, because when Rashi was teaching kids, there were always dogs around, and the kids always heard the dogs bark at the moon when it was full. So they understand that the night of Pesach, when it was a full moon, the dogs didn't bark, was a great miracle. Now, it's interesting, because the Gemara says the dogs were rewarded for not barking. Why were they rewarded? There's a pasuk later on in Chumash that says, you're not allowed to eat nevela, a dead carcass of an animal. Which means if an animal just died and wasn't shechted, you're not allowed to eat the animal. So the Torah says, what do you do with the dead carcass of an animal? So the Torah says, la'kelev tashlichu na'isei. You throw it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, why do the dogs merit to get the nevela, not the... It doesn't say throw it to the horses or throw it to the donkeys. Why does the Torah say throw it to the dogs? So the Gemara says, to reward the donkeys. To reward the donkeys from the fact... The dogs, from the fact that they didn't bark when the Jews left Egypt, to reward the dogs, the Torah says, give them the meat. So the world comments on this, one second, the world comments on this. You know, people are always into yichus, you know, who their ancestors were, and who their lineage were, you know, a lot of people into yichus. So the world says, yichus belongs to the dogs. Lineage belongs to the dogs. How do you know this? From this concept. Why? Because the Torah says, today, if you have dead meat, yeah, the carcass, give it to a dog. Why? Because the dogs in Egypt didn't bark. This dog wasn't in Egypt. It's 3,500 years later. So what's the answer? Because this dog comes from those dogs. So it's yichus. This dog has the yichus coming from the dogs that were in Egypt. So to prove that Yichus belongs to the dogs. What?
Rabbi, in all my life...
You never heard.
And I've studied this before the Jews leaving Egypt, and I've read about it, studied it.
Before the Jews left Egypt, you studied this?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't there then.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to ask you, because I respect your wisdom, why did it take 10 plagues before Parai had...
That's a very good question. Because then when they made the movie, it would be too short. So Hashem had to make more plagues that when they make the movie out of it, it should be a full, what's it called?
Full length,
thank you. Full length movie, because otherwise it would be a 10-minute movie.
Rabbi, I'm not worried about the movie.
Oh.
I'm concerned with the idea that the Jews who were enslaved, I don't know how long, by the way, you didn't mention it yet. How long was it between plague 1 and plague 10?
We did mention it. Every plague took a month.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
But slavery stopped a half a year before the Jews left Egypt. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that the Jews left Egypt on Pesach, right? Nisan. Right? The 15th of Nisan. But the Gemara says already that in the month of Tishrei, 6 months before Nisan, the Egyptians were so beaten already that the really hard slavery already stopped from the Jews. Now, the reason why Hashem had to do 10 plagues, because 10 plagues correspond with a lot of inyonim of Kedusha and evil, which is also, this issue, by the way, we never discussed, and it's important to discuss it. In the fifth parak, only for Marty. In the fifth parak, don't get flattered from it. In the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah starts off by saying as follows: Basara Maimaris Nivra Ha'ilam. The world was created with 10 utterances, right? 10 utterances, and then the Mishnah says, "V'alei b'maimer echad yachol ibaris." God could have created it with 1, so why did God create it with 10, right? So the Rebbe explains in a sicha And there's a very basic concept. You can't ask a question why God made it in 10 and not in 1. Because God had to make it somehow. For instance, let's say the earth, the sun from the earth is 92 million miles. Like approximately 92, 93 million miles. You can't ask a question, why did God make it 92 million and not 91 million? It had to be a certain way. The question of the Mishnah, this is very important for understanding this. The Mishnah's question is, if you look in the Mishnah, Ma Talmud Loimar. What does the Torah teach us by telling us that there were 10 utterances? That there were 10 utterances, you can't ask why there were 10, because there had to be a certain amount, you had to do it somehow. The Mishnah is asking, why is the Torah informing us that there were 10 plagues? What does it teach us? There are utterances. Why does the Torah have to teach us there's 10? So the question, what's the lesson of 10? In Kedusha, there is a number of 10. And in evil, there's a number of 10. Okay? Because the Pasuk, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya at great length, there's 10 attributes in each world. There's 10 spheres, right? Atzilus has 10 spheres, and Bria, Yetzira. Every world has 10 levels. Because the neshama of a Jew comes from those spiritual worlds, so therefore the neshama of a Jew is also composed of 10 levels. That's what he says. Shenishtal shel mehem, because the neshama comes from the spiritual worlds, and the spiritual worlds have 10 levels, so therefore the neshama has 10 levels. Then the Alter Rebbe continues in Tanya and says, V'zelu mezeh osa likim. God made good opposite of bad and bad opposite of good, which means, in order for there to be free choice, in order for there to be equality, to be able to choose good from bad or bad from good, good and evil have to be equal. So therefore, if there's 10 levels in Kedusha, there has to be 10 levels of evil. Why is 10 holy? Why did the Eibishter make 10? If he made 11, you'd ask why 11. But the bottom line is, Hashem picked the number of 10 to be Kedusha. Let me finish. If there's 10 levels in Kedusha, to be an equal balance, you need 10 levels of evil. Therefore, when you want to break evil, or you want to elevate evil, you want to refine evil, or break evil, either one, it has to be done in all 10 aspects. It has to be done in all aspects of evil. You can't break half of evil, because then you're not mission accomplished. Thank you. Is this water or vodka?
That's vodka.
Combination.
I want to know what it is.
That's vodka.
It's dangerous to you guys. Try it, I'm afraid. So you can't break half of evil. Because if you break half of evil, you're not breaking evil. So therefore, the 10 plagues correspond with the 10 levels of evil that Egypt possessed. And Hashem had to break them in all evil, all levels of evil. Therefore, evil had to be broken with 10 plagues. If Hashem wanted, he could have started with number 10. Hashem could have come to party and said, listen, you know what? Let the Jews out, and if not, forget about Dom Sfardei Akinim. Hashem could have said to Moshe, tell Pari, listen kid, either you let him out or else you're going to die with all the firstborns. Pari would have sent him out. But then you didn't break all 10 evils, all 10 levels of evil. By the way, just about this, there's a story that the Tzemach Tzedek used to drink a cup of water every day before davening Shachris. Every day drink a cup of water. One day by mistake, they put in not vodka, but what's called Zechsenneinziger, pure spirit, 190 proof. And the Tzemach Tzedek drank it, and he didn't realize that it was that strong. He just drank it like he drank water. Later, the Tzemach Tzedek found out that what he drank wasn't water, it was mashke, heavy-duty mashke. So the Tzemach Tzedek said afterwards, now he understands why he davened so well that day. And if we be up to him, this is what the Tzemach Tzedek said, if we be up to me, I would decree chassidim have to drink a big cup of mashke every day before davening, because the daven's much better. I shouldn't do it. Anyway.
Rabbi.
What? Okay, look at me and let's go. Come on.
Yeah, I am. I don't know if everybody knows what I'm talking about. think about, but now I got another answer that I waited all my life to get.
Okay.
Why, in a fight, in a prize fight, when one guy gets hit and falls down,
they count to 10.
The referee counts 10. Oh. Now I know why.
They count to 10.
Count to 10 and then say you're out. You're knocked out and you lose.
That's good. Okay. You see? It pays. Okay. Next. So he says. What? The what?
The wealthiest man ever.
Kerach.
Yeah. Where did he get all this money?
I told you he found the treasures that Yosef hid. When all the. He found it right before they left here. Okay. That they will not, they won't wag the tail or the tongue, they won't bark, whatever. That people what?
Why is it really in retrospect so important that they didn't bark? Because the Jews were going to go out anyway.
Why does it say a dog didn't bark? Why doesn't it say the horse didn't, or cow didn't moo? No, I'm saying, Kelev, dog, symbolizes a certain level of evil. Okay? There was a problem in the Teva with a dog. Kelev, it says in Sfarim, Kelev is two words. Chof stands for Kulo, and Lev is heart. Kelev is Kule Lev, okay? Which symbolizes complete emotions without intellect. When you're dealing with evil versus good, or animal versus human, animals have no intellect. They're governed by instinct, feelings, emotions, midas, lev, and people are governed by they're supposed to be. Most people are animals. But people that are people are governed by intellect rather than emotions. Therefore, the whole punchline of the first 14 chapters of Tanya, when the Alter Rebbe says, the attribute of a Beinoni is the attribute of every single Jew, and every Jew could and should be a Beinoni, the punchline of it is, Ki ameach shalat al alev b'teva tul dosi, that the mind controls the heart by nature. That is a level of intellect versus emotions. When the Torah is telling us that the dog didn't bark, it symbolizes that evil was refined to such an extent that even the level of animal, which is personified by a dog, which is emotions versus intellect, even they were subdued and refined that they didn't bark. Even though everything demanded, there was such a commotion going around, there was a house, every house had somebody dying, the angel of death was in the city, Gemara says dogs bark, there was a full moon, dogs bark, evil should have been making a commotion. What happened over here was there's such a refinement and breaking and elevation of evil that even evil didn't talk. So the Torah wants to emphasize that's what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the evil of Egypt was completely subdued. Okay. V'yardu kol avadecho at the bottom of the page, pasuk chesami. V'yardu kol avadecho and all your servants of yours will come down to me. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Paray, and the Mefarshim say an interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't mean the servants, he meant Paray. He said, you're going to come and bow to me. But he didn't want to tell Paray, you're going to come down and bow to me, because it's not nice. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu is by plague number 10, it's interesting, the Mefarshim say, he still gave respect to the king. Even though Paray was this big Russia and every troublemaker and killed Jews and everything. Moshe Rabbeinu said, all your servants are going to come and bow to me. And they're going to say to me, you and your entire nation should leave. And then I will go out. Okay? And Moshe Rabbeinu left Paray with anger. Meaning, all this happened in the presence of Paray. All this prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu sang to Paray, and he got the prophecy, and everything is going to happen. This all happened in the presence of Paray. He finished. He walked out. Yep.
Here on the verse 8, it says that all your servants come to me and go down to me.
Right.
It means the way I look at it means before they come to you and bow down to you, now they come to me. I'm the God now. I'm the paddle now.
He didn't mean...
I beat you this time.
He meant me as God's representative. He didn't mean me, Moshe Rabbeinu. And like we mentioned in the past, one of the wonders of the Haggadah that very, very few commentaries discuss, and the wonder is that nobody talks about it, except very few. Do you know that, take the book of Esther, right? Do you know how many times Mordechai and Esther are mentioned in the Megillah? Who knows how many times, right? Take the Haggadah of Shal Pesach, yeah, who was the hero of Pesach? Moshe. Do you know that his name's not mentioned in the Haggadah, except once in passing? Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, the hero of the Pesach story, yeah, is mentioned only once in the Haggadah and in passing. When it says, right after the plagues, in the Haggadah, it says, Rabbi Yisrael Glili said, there are 10 here and 50 there, and then 40 here and 250 and 250, yeah? So over there, he brings down a pasuk, Vayaminu b'Hashem b'Moshe Avdei. In passing, they bring down the name Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that? Because there's a number of answers. And it's interesting, very, very few commentaries talk about it. But basically, one answer is because it wants to be an emphasis on the Haggadah that it was God, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Some Mefarshim answer, Moshe Rabbeinu had such humility. It wasn't him. He said, it's not me, it's God. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're going to bow to me, it wasn't me as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, he's only God's mouthpiece. So he's telling me, they're going to bow to me, meaning Hashem, not him. So it's not a problem. He didn't have a masveh now. The masveh came later.
Why was he angry when he left? Why is that?
No, but it seems that in the burning anger it implies that Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. I don't know. I was thinking about that before. I don't know. I mean, why does he have to tell us he was angry? Big deal. I don't know. Let me just take a quick look here. Maybe I don't think you even talk about it. Oh, no. Devin Ezra does explain. Sorry, Devin Ezra says, because Pari said, don't see my face anymore, so that's why Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. He didn't leave yet. He didn't leave from Pari's presence. Pari said, don't come to me again. So he said, look at the chutzpah you have to tell me, again, Hashem, that you shouldn't come. So that's why he was angry. So Hashem said to Moshe after he left Pari, I want you to know he's still not going to listen to you. Even after this warning, he's still not going to listen to you. Why? That my wonder should be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And as everybody knows, the Reveis Mevsei Beretz Mitzrayim is an acronym for Rambam. There's a famous acronym of the Rambam where you find a hint to the Rambam in Chumash. Okay, look at Reveis Mevsei Beretz Mitzrayim. Reish Mem, Beis Mem is Rambam. And Rambam lived in Egypt. Second line on page 348. The end of the last word on the second line. In Pasuk Tes. Well, the last four words. Reveis, Mevsai, Be'eretz Mitzrayim is an acronym for Rambam. And Rambam lived in Egypt and he made a lot of miracles in Egypt. Okay, then it says, Umeshe v'Aaron osses kol ha'meisam eile l'fnei Pari. Meshe and Aaron did all these miracles in the presence of Pari. V'chazak Hashem asli Pari. Hashem still hardened his heart. V'leshilach as b'nei Yisrael. And he didn't listen to the b'nei Yisrael. He didn't take them out. Okay, basically the pasuk is emphasized. Meshe and Aaron did it. Okay, now starts a whole new thing, but it's a very important thing. This is the first mitzvah that the Jews were being commanded as a nation. Okay? Avram was commanded circumcision. Yaakov Avinu was given mitzvahs. the coming up is the first mitzvah the Jews were commanded as a nation, which is Vayem Hashem al Meshav Alar Meretz Mitzrayim Leimer. Hashem said to Meshav Alar in the land of Mitzrayim as follows. HaChedesh Hazal Lachem Reish Chadashim. This month, meaning the month of Nisan, should be considered Reish Chedesh, the head of all months. Rishon Hu Lachem Lachachi Hashana. This is the first month of the months of the year. Meaning, before we even go into the details of the Pasuk, there are two, so to speak, heads of the year in the Jewish calendar. The year begins in Tishrei. Okay, Tishrei starts 5764. Next Tishrei will be 5765. Month-wise, the first month in the Jewish calendar is Nisan. When the Torah says in the seventh month, it means the seventh month from Nisan. When the Torah says in the third month, it means the third month from Nisan. So the Torah basically says that month-wise, you start from Nisan. Year-wise, you start from Tishrei. Now, this is the mitzvah, by the way, before we go even in any depth of it, this is the mitzvah of Beis Din sanctifying the moon to proclaim when Rosh Chodesh was. We have calendars, we know already for the rest of the world, when each Rosh Chodesh is going to be, and when the days, and when the Chagim are, when everything is. In those days, it was based on the testimony of the witnesses. If two witnesses saw the moon in a certain shape, in a certain position, in a certain thing, Beis Din figured out if it was feasible to see the moon or not. If Beis Din validated the witnesses, that caused Beis Din to say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, that the new month has begun. Okay, so this is the mitzvah, not only that Nisan is the first of the months, and that's why it says, HaChedesh Hazeh. What does Hazeh mean? Hazeh means he pointed to it. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu this shape of a moon, which is possible to see at the beginning of the month, and he said, HaChedesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chadashim. When the moon looks like this, Kezeh Re'eyu Kadesh, when it's like this, this is when Rosh Chodesh comes. So before we go into the dinim of the psukim about the 10th of the month and so on and so forth, there is a fundamental thing going on over here. It's very, very important to know. Why is it that the years begin from Tishrei and the months begin from Nisan? Why is it like that? Why didn't the Eibishter make either the year and the month start from Nisan or start from Tishrei? What is this, like, crazy schedule? The year, when's Rosh Hashanah for a new year? Tishrei. When is Rosh Hashanah for months? Nisan. What? That what? Oh, thank you. What would I do without you?
Ask
no, she. I don't want to ask her.
Birth of man and the birth of the Jewish nation.
Yeah. Between everybody, we'll get there. It's good.
The freedom.
Let's start.
Free choice and freedom.
Okay. Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of Chumash. Because the beginning of Chumash is going to strengthen this question.
Is it free choice?
Yeah. Whatever you say.
So
now you listen. The first Rashi in Chumash asks a question. The Torah begins with Bereishis Bara Elokim, that God created heaven and earth. There is an argument in the Gemara, when did God create the world? Did God create the world in Nisan, or did he create it in Tishrei? There's Rabbi Eliezer and there's Rabbi Yeshua. There's an argument, when were the Ovis born? Nisan or Tishrei? When is Mashiach coming? Nisan or Tishrei? There's a whole argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. When are things happening? Or when did they happen? Did they happen in this and it didn't happen in the Tishrei? The first Rashi in Chumash asks a question. Why in the world does the Torah begin from Bereishis, Bara Elokim? If the first mitzvah the Jews were given as a nation is HaChedesh Hazeh Lachem. So Rashi asks the question from the Medrash. Lo ha'ya tzarech lahaschil as ha'Torah elam ya'HaChedesh Hazeh Lachem. why does Rashi begin from Bereishis? I mean, why does Rashi asks, why does the Torah begin from Bereishis? It should start from Achodesh Hazalachem. Now we know that when the Torah asks a question, the question is a valid question. The question itself is Torah. It's not only, okay, you ask a question, the answer to the question is non-existent anymore. When the Torah brings down a question, the question remains a question. There is two aspects. There is creation, which is Bereishis Bara, and then there's an aspect of Achodesh Hazalachem, which is the mitzvah given to the Jews. So the question is, why is it beginning from Bereishis? It should have begun from Achodesh Hazalachem, which means, in actuality, it begins from Bereishis, but in certain respects, it does begin from Achodesh Hazalachem. So what's going on over here? There is year, and there is month. In Hebrew, the word year means shana. Now, how do you say Hebrew, the year? Shana. How do you say month? Chodesh. What's the difference between chodesh and shana? Besides meaning year and month, shana means in Hebrew to repeat, and chodesh comes the word chidush, which means chodesh new. There's two distinct concepts in Yiddishkeit. And let me go back just to preface it with. There's a rule in Torah, you can't have an argument and a fact. You can have an argument, is it kosher or treif? But you can't have an argument, when did God create the world? Nisan and Tishrei, and both be right? He did it either in Nisan or did it in Tishrei. He couldn't have done it in both. So what does it mean that one opinion says God created the world in this? One opinion says God created the world in Tishrei. They both can't be right.
One had to do with the thought of it.
Oh, one second. Great. One second.
So it could be another month also?
No, there's 12 months, but
yeah,
it's only those 2 months. What is the concept is as follows. There is nature, and there is the Jews' work in nature. Meaning, nature repeats itself day in, day out. The sun comes up every morning in the east and sets in the west, and this happens on a regular basis of repetition. The concept of shana refers to the level of nature, which repeats itself. Chodesh refers to a Jew putting something new into the world. This is the difference between Nisan and Tishrei. Tishrei refers to world as world. Why? Take the letters of Tishrei, it's the Aleph Beis backwards. Tav, Shin, Reish, and then Yud. Okay? Tishrei symbolizes world going up, elevating itself, but it's the world as nature working with itself. Nisan means Nes. There's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, the Gemara discusses a few pages about dreams. If you dream this, this is what's going to happen. If you dream this, this is what's going to happen. So the Gemara says, if you dream a dream with the letter Nun in it, because Nun is the first letter of Nes, you're going to have miracles happening. If you dream a dream with two nuns in it, the Gemara says, you're going to have Nisan, Nisan, miracles and miracles. Nisan not only means Nes, but Nisan begins with a nun and ends with a nun. That means the whole word is nun. It starts and ends, meaning the whole word is nun. Which means the supernatural chidush, the revelations of godliness in the world. So Nisan, which symbolizes adding something supernatural to the world, is the beginning of Chodesh, beginning of months, because months constantly change. Why is month called Chodesh? Because the moon never stays the same. Months go according to the moon. Years, solar year, goes according to the sun. The moon never stays the same. It becomes from nothing, big, 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 small, 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 small. The moon never stays the same size in any given night. It's always a change. So Chidush Chodesh is the concept of Nisan, because Nisan means revealing a supernatural of godliness into the world. That's the level of Chodesh. Shana, which means to repeat itself, the same thing, day in, day out, day in, day out, that is symbolizing the level of Teva. So the beginning of Torah says as follows. The Torah begins with Bereshis Bara, which symbolizes nature. The world was created in Tishrei. What is the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is Achedesh Hazel Lachem Reish Chadashim, for a Jew to make new revelations of godliness into the world. Not the natural hidden revelations of godliness in the world, but the new revelations of godliness in the world. So at the beginning of Chumash Rashi says, the Torah begins with Bereshis Bara. But the Torah should have began with Achedesh Hazel Lachem. What's the question? Because the purpose of creation is not Bereshis Bara. It's Achedesh Hazel Lachem, for a Jew to bring new levels of godliness into nature, to show that nature is really supernatural, which is really said in three words. Hashem Hu Ha'alakim. What do you mean? Hashem Hu Ha'alakim in simple English is translated, God is God. Good morning. God is God. Of course God is God. What is God? A potato? What do you mean Hashem Hu Ha'alakim? Hashem Hu Ha'alakim means Elokim is nature, Hateva. Yudke Vavke is supernatural, because Yudke Vavke is Haya, Heve, and Yi, and the same word, past, present, and future simultaneously. Yudke Vavke means Mahava, creator. So Yudke Vavke symbolizes the level of godliness which is higher than nature. Elokim is the level of godliness which is nature. What does Hashem Hu Elokim mean? That nature, Elokim, is really Havaya, is really Yudke Vavke. This is the argument if the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei. How can you have an argument in the fact? One opinion says, yes, the world was created in Tishrei. But like you said, the thought, so they answer the question, that the thought of creation was in Nisan. And the actual creation was in Tishrei. Yeah? So, you know, it's if you take it literally, you have to be a fool to think that way. You know, I understand, in Beverly Hills, you want to build a building, you need to get permits, and you need to go through the city council, and you need to fight with them, and it takes time. When God created the world, he needed permits. God wanted to create the world, it takes 6 months from the time he thought about it until it happened. Hashem said, the simple answer is, Hashem thought about it in Nisan, and he created it in Tishrei. What, it takes God 6 months to think about something? From the time he thinks until he does it. That's not what it means. The thought means, what is the purpose of creation? That's when you think, you build a house, first you think, what do I want from the house? The thought of Nisan means, the purpose why God made the world, the thought of the world, is Nisan, the supernatural. What level did actually God create the world in? In the level of Tishrei. It's not 6 months apart, and this is it means the thought of creation is Nisan. The actual creation is Tishrei. Bereshis Bara Elokim is the actual creation. HaChedesh Hazeh Lachem is the purpose of creation, to make a Chedesh, Chidush, in the world. There is year, which is a repetition, one thing after the next. And the job of a Jew is to make Nisan out of it. Meaning, to reveal the supernatural level of godliness into the world. So it's not Stam an argument, when did God create the world? Nisan, Tishrei, you know, thought about it for 6 months, the Torah maybe made a mistake, it should have begun from a different pasuk, it begins from Bereshis Bara. It's a completely different story. There is world, and there is the purpose of world, the function of the Jew. The function of the Jew is to bring HaChedesh Hazeh Lachem into Bereshis Bara. To bring Nisan into Tishrei. And that's why, now that the Jewish people are becoming a nation, they're becoming a nation, the first mitzvah there is given, they're given, what does Hashem say? Hashem is giving what's called the mission statement. What is the mission of the Jews leaving Egypt to go get the Torah to become a nation? You should know the purpose is Achedesh Hazeh Lochem Reish Chadoshim. And Hazeh, like we said, Zeh in Hebrew, is when you point to it. The Gemara says, Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parshas Matis, all Nevi'im, if you learn Tanakh, not Tanakh, if you learn Nach, Navi, most prophecies of the Nevi'im begin with Ko Amar Hashem. Ko Amar Hashem. Look in the Haftaris. Ko Amar Hashem. So God said. Meshe Rabbeinu didn't say Ko Amar Hashem. Over here he did. And this because it was before you see us in Mitzrayim. But Meshe Rabbeinu says in Chumash, Zeh HaDavar Ashetziva Hashem. Zeh HaDavar. This is the thing God said. What's the difference between Koi and Zeh? Koi means so God said. Zeh, you see it, as the expression goes, Mara Be'etz, but you point with your finger and you say this. When you say Zeh, it means this. That's why the Mefarshim say, why does Hashem say Achedesh HaZeh? Because Hashem actually pointed to the moon. It showed Moshe Rabbeinu a picture of the moon, what Rosh Chodesh becomes. When is it Rosh Chodesh? But the job of a Jew is Achedesh HaZeh to reveal the level of Chiddush, of godliness, Lochem, into you. That is the purpose of the Jewish people becoming a nation. And therefore, when they're becoming a nation, the first mitzvah they're given as a nation is Achedesh HaZeh Lochem Resh Chadoshim. Because if you just stop to think for a minute, you know, this is an important mitzvah, but come on, there's much more important mitzvahs than this. Right? Shabbos, kosher, the first mitzvah in Egypt, Hashem said, oh, by the way, this is the way you sanctify the moon. I mean, they're more important daily mitzvahs, so to speak. But this is the focal point of the entire Yiddishkeit. The essence of the entire Yiddishkeit is God made a world which conceals godliness. Your role is to bring new revelations of godliness into the world by doing mitzvah. Yeah.
Why did he wait for the Jews to get out of Egypt?
Because he wanted the Jews to know this is the purpose of why you're going out. And if you're not realizing this purpose, stay where you are. That, in other words,
even if Egypt was the tumor of the world.
Right.
So that's another level of making it.
Elevating it. What?
Lots of questions I have. First of all, we told that the Tishrei is elevation. They have to elevate it to Nisan.
Right.
And white olive dead deck was.
Because it's world elevating itself higher, not revealing godliness into the world. If you want to make a shidduch between two things, there's three options. A goes to B, B goes to A, or they meet halfway. No, right? I mean, that's the way it works, right? Now, there is an Aveda of Tishrei, like we said, is tshuva, is world elevating themselves to God. There is a level of Nisan, which is God revealing himself to the Jewish people. Right? That's God. And then you have a third level, which is Matan Torah, by the way, the third month, which is God coming down on the mountain and Moshe Rabbeinu went up, meaning they met halfway. And each level has an advantage over the other one, and therefore you need all three. There's an advantage when God reveals himself to the world. There's an advantage when world elevates itself to godliness. And there's an advantage of meeting midway.
What are the disadvantages?
No disadvantages in Yiddishkeit. One second, she didn't finish the second one, yeah?
Second question, how we make, and is this Tishrei go to this, and how you see this, in this way, what you say in Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaRatzimah?
Because that's when the world is judged, because the world was created that day.
No, but Harat is Hirayon.
No, that's one interpreter. Hayom HaRatzimah, the world trembles. Hayom Yambim B'mishpat Kol Yitzurei Olamim. It doesn't mean pregnant. It means basically Haras Salem, the trembling of the world. What?
The Jewish left Egypt. How did they come on the mountain?
They didn't.
So
There's a whole argument. What happened before all this? Was it already in? No, I'm saying it could be that they counted from Tishrei at that time, but at that time wasn't important because they didn't have mitzvahs yet. I don't know what I have a hard time with the Jews. I can't go to the Aztecs. You have the difference also between the Muslims and the Jews. The Muslims also go by the monthly calendar, but they never add a leap year. They only have completely lunar. But by us, the Torah says Pesach has to be B'chodesh Aviv. Later on we'll learn. In the spring, so if you... The solar year is 365 days and a quarter. The lunar year is 354 days. So you're missing 11 days a year. That the lunar month, your lunar year is less than the solar year. So after 5 months, you're 55 days off. After 10 months, you're 110 days off. So after 10 years, Pesach is going to be in the snowstorm in December. And the Torah says it has to be B'chodesh Aviv. Therefore, L'havdol Elf Avdolos, Ramadan, by the Muslims, which is based on the lunar calendar, it changes times of the year. But by the Torah, it says it has to be Dafkin, the month of Nisan.